You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Let me ask you a question real quickly. When we sing the song, which I love, it is well.
They sounded really pretty today.
Fantastic. And I appreciate the worship in spirit and truth when we sing, "It is well with my soul." Amen. Let me ask a question, and again, it's kind of been a theme the last few weeks. I want you to be honest with yourself. Is it well with your soul?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, first, I think about eternity. Are you prepared for eternity?
Yes, hallelujah.
The Bible says that all men die. I know that there are corporations and companies and wealthy people in America today that are trying to stave off death. Certainly lifespans have gotten longer, but even if the Lord should tarry for a million years, human beings will still die. So let me ask you this morning, is it well with your soul?
Yes, amen.
And I hope that it is. I pray that it is. And let me go a little deeper. Stepping on my own toes. Whatever it is today that you brought to church with you inside of your heart, whatever heartache and downtroddenness, whatever there is inside of here, do you trust that God is good and knows everything?
Amen.
Are you able to tell God, even in spite of all of those hurts, that it's still well with your soul?
Yes.
Are you able to say, "God, whatever you put on my plate, I'll entrust that to you, increase my faith, and let me walk through these things"? That's a lot harder question for me to answer. God's been good to me. He's been better to me than I could ever deserve or earn. I think it's a dangerous trap for human beings to compare their life with another human being's life, because your life is different than mine, I'm different than you, and you are certainly not my standard, nor I yours. But I look and I know heartaches, I know things that you're dealing with, many of you, and my heart goes out to you. And then I look back at myself and my own life and I ask God, "Why are you so good to me?" It's nothing that I've done. I certainly haven't earned any of that. Right? The Lord has just been very good to me. So today, let me ask again, whatever it is, because there's real heartbreak. This life is tough. Toss that prosperity gospel in the trash where it belongs. Life is hard. But that does not mean that God has abandoned or forgotten you. He wants you to trust Him through all of those things. And so today, even though the message may center on the Mother's Day theme, I want you to leave here today and say, "God, no matter what, I can say it is well with my soul." Read up this afternoon. Here's your Mother's Day homework. Google the name Horatio Spafford.
Amen.
That's the man that wrote this song. And read the circumstances of his life when he wrote, "It is well with my soul." He had lost everything. It's easy for me to say, "God, you've been good to me," when things are going pretty well like they are today. But can I say that when life gets tough? You absolutely can. The Lord will be faithful to you. And just because you're going through hard times, we mentioned this in the young adult Sunday school class this morning. The hardest point of my life was about a year and a half after I had accepted Jesus Christ. And for about 4 months, I had severe doubts about my faith in the Lord. I didn't necessarily doubt that God was real. I didn't doubt that Jesus was the Son of God and had been resurrected from the dead. I didn't dismiss those things or necessarily question those things too strongly, but I questioned, am I really a believer? Has God really forgiven me of all of my sins? And in those 4 months, that was the lowest part of my life, and I didn't hardly tell anybody. I certainly didn't go and seek out professional help. I talked to our pastor one time about it, about midway through that 4-month period or so. But today, That low point in my life, I believe has, it, because I endured through that, because God was gracious to me, I feel like my faith is stronger today because of that low point. And even though I hated every minute of that, I wouldn't trade that for the world today. It's meant a lot to me. So today, if you're going through a difficult time, don't give up. And let me say that there will be a better day ahead.
Amen.
And you will look back on this, even if it's on the other side. This will end up being a blessing to you. If God didn't allow us to go through those things, we'd all become spoiled brats. Okay? And that's not a Christ-like mindset at all. So don't give up. He certainly hasn't given up on you. If you have your Bibles today, we'll be in the book of Exodus chapter 2. How's that for an intro to Mother's Day, huh? You know what? I think it's okay. Because a big part, now Jesus saved me from my sin. There's no doubt in my mind, but the Lord was very good to me. And one way he was good to me was he gave me a mom that raised me in a Bible-believing church. And I heard the Bible literally from just being a few days old.
Amen.
Okay, I remember, kids, you don't even know about this. I remember the felt board days. Ours was blue in our Sunday school class. Miss Barbara. I had two Miss Barbaras that were my teachers at a young age. And then probably Miss Risa did some of the felt board too. Google that while you're at it. The felt board for you younger generation. You tell the story of David and Goliath and you'd slap David up there on the felt board, and he slapped Goliath up there on the felt board. It was good times. I know that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. My mom, even though she didn't necessarily lead me to the Lord, in effect, if she didn't necessarily lead me through the prayer of accepting Jesus or anything like that, her influence is what led me to the Lord. So let me brag on her for a minute. If the door was open at church, Kevin and Rachel were going to be there. Bobby would have been, but at that point he was already in the Marine Corps. We were going to be there every time. There was no excuse. My mom played the organ when I was a little kid. Let's see, what, it's 10:30, so it's 11:30 in Texas. My mom right now is probably playing the organ at the invitation time at South Jefferson Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas.
Hallelujah.
She was such a godly influence on me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And today I'm thankful to the Lord for her. On top of that, see, I have an advantage, guys. I have the microphone, so I can brag on them up here in public. You do it in private today if you haven't already. I have a great mother-in-law. You know, there's all these types of jokes about mothers-in-law. I have a great one. Okay, Martha Moan is an incredible mother-in-law. I have a godly stepmother as well. So in many ways, I won the lottery of life. And now I'm married to Kara for 12 years now. And she's an incredible mother, an incredible wife. And I can honestly say today that our marriage, I would say, is stronger today than it ever has been. And I'm thankful for each of these ladies in my life. One of the things that you'll notice, and I know you all go home and listen to podcasts and sermons and all of this the entire week, but one of the things that you'll notice about Mother's Day sermons is they are overwhelmingly positive, and they should be. I believe the American church would be in a lot of trouble if it wasn't for mothers. If it, not just mothers, but women in general. And I don't. The last thing I want to have happen today is to make you feel inferior if you're a lady here and not a mom. God has created you just as special as anybody else. These messages tend to be super positive, and then in 6 weeks or so on Father's Day, you see the majority of those are very negative and chastising the fathers and all of that. Well, you know what? I refuse to do that. I refuse to bash the men of the church, because there's a lot of good ones out there, and I want to say thank you. I have a good dad as well.
Amen.
And this morning, this will be a positive message, but I don't want everybody to go away thinking that the moms got off easy. Okay? I'm thankful for you, every single one of you in here this morning, all you ladies. Let's read the book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. We'll have a couple of points here, and then we'll have a challenge at the end. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Now, the Egyptian word for drawing out of the water does sound like a lot like Moses, so that's why she named him Moses with such a title. Here's a couple of statements. No man is, this is Abraham Lincoln, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." Here's an old Spanish proverb, and I'll say it in English. "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of priest." I agree with that as well. We read the story here in the book of Exodus, a well-known story of the felt board. We had baby Moses in a basket on the felt board as well. The Pharaoh in Egypt had said, "Let's kill these Hebrew boys," because they had exploded in population. Think about Egypt in the ancient world. Egypt is the most powerful nation in the world. The Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the world. You look at the President of the United States, and oftentimes today, President Obama is considered the most powerful man in the world. And that's been the saying for generations of presidents. Now, even though he is a very powerful man, he does not have the amount of power that the Pharaoh of Egypt had 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. This Pharaoh could do anything that he wanted to do. He sees the Hebrew children, who remember at the time were in slavery, and he sees them, he says, "Man, they have multiplied greatly. They're going to overthrow us eventually. They're going to recognize that their numbers are greater than ours, and they're going to destroy us." So he comes up with a plan, and he calls in a couple of midwives, and he says, "All right, ladies, when they have a boy, eliminate the child right then. If it's a girl, let her live." Well, these two Hebrew midwives who were named in chapter 1, they said, "There is no way we're going to do that." And so after a time, the Pharaoh notices that baby Hebrew boys are still being born and alive, and he comes to these midwives, or he summons them, and he says, "Why have you done this?" Well, they said, "Well, the Hebrew women are strong. And before we can get there, they already have the baby. We just can't get there in time. They have them so quickly." Well, Pharaoh, okay. But at the same time, he then instructs basically all the Egyptians. If you see these Hebrews having baby boys, it is your duty as an Egyptian to eliminate that young boy's life. We see Moses' mother. Later we learn her name is Jochebed. And Jochebed puts Moses into the river. Now at this point, Moses is 3 months old. She hid baby Moses for 3 months. The first quick point this morning is this: the protection, or a mother's protection. How many of you ladies, be it your own child or a niece, or a nephew, or really just a stranger's kid, you're going to let somebody hurt a little kid? That ain't happening, is it? The calmest, nicest, most laid-back woman, if you attack her kids, will lose her mind. And rightfully so. And I'm all for that, okay? So, ladies, if you get thrown in jail for protecting your kids, I will come bail you out of jail, okay? That's what I'm talking. I'd be proud of you too. All right. We once were hiking. We went to church camp at Glorieta when I was still the youth minister there in Texas, and we went hiking at Glorieta Baldy, right out there outside of the camp. Beautiful, okay, part of the world there in northern New Mexico. And that first year that we went, I didn't make everybody go because it's a rather difficult hike. So about 12 of us went from our entire group. And as we're walking up, we started talking, you know, on our hike, and it was leisurely. And then the elevation got difficult and the terrain changed, and we quit talking because we were flatlanders from East Texas. And as we're walking, in the distance, I hear a bear. And I didn't alarm the kids that were with me or the other couple of adults that were with us, but I was motivated to leave that area. Because bears typically won't mess with you too much, but if they got a baby around, you're in trouble. And I'll confess this morning, I was eyeballing the kids that I felt like I could outrun were it to come to that. All right, and there was a few. Okay, I'm not real quick, but when motivated, I can move okay. But if you're a mother this morning, if you're it's innate in all women, I think. If a child is being hurt, man, they will get super strength. You've heard stories of moms lifting their cars off of their kids after an accident or something like that. Man, that's incredible. Well, Moses' mother for 3 months hid baby Moses. And have you ever tried to hide something from the authorities for a lengthy period of time? You know that she had no, You know that she had no sleep. She had no rest. She couldn't relax because she knew at any moment the Egyptian authorities might come looking for her. Okay. Y'all behave. But you know what? She decided in her heart, my life is worth it if I can protect this child. She protected that baby. She put him in the river and the bulrushes and all of that. Pharaoh's decree had decreed that they should all die. And think about again the time period in which these people lived. They lived in a culture of death. In ancient Egypt, if the Pharaoh wanted your life, he could take it like that. There was no judicial process. So after Jochebed places Moses in the river, remember, I think she strategically placed him in a place where he would be found. This is a woman, I believe, that we should hold in high honor. Then Pharaoh's daughter comes into possession of Moses. She recognizes Moses as a Hebrew baby. What had the Pharaoh said about these Hebrew baby boys? They should all be killed. And who is this? This is Pharaoh's daughter. It was her duty as an Egyptian to see to it that Moses would lose his life. But instead, she took him in. If anybody in Egypt could get away with that, it would be Pharaoh's daughter. If you have daughters yourself, you know that. She's the only one that could get away with that. In this culture of death, Moses' biological mother did everything she could to save his life. And then another lady down the river, Pharaoh's daughter, Jochebed's his mother, Pharaoh's daughter did the same. She would not take his life. And thank God for Moses' sister, who watched that whole thing and said, think about this. She's approaching Pharaoh's daughter, which was probably something that she shouldn't have done. But she says, do you want me to grab one of these Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you? Pharaoh's daughter was agreeable, and well, who does Moses' sister go get? Jochebed. God's hand was in all of this. But you see the protection of not just Jochebed, but also Pharaoh's daughter. I'll say this, as an adoptive father, the question that gets asked a lot of adoption agencies is, will I love this child? Let me give you the short answer this morning. Absolutely. You will have no problem. Pharaoh's daughter takes him in. So not only do we see the protection, A mother's protection, we all see a mother's provision. Now, I'm trying to say this without sounding ugly, because I don't mean it ugly. So y'all forgive me. It's hard to hide a pregnant woman. Amen, right? Amen? Yeah, guys. All right, thank you. I'm glad some ladies joined in on that one. Now, just because that's true and that's the case, fellas, never ask a lady if she's pregnant. If you are in the maternity ward and a lady is in labor, you still don't ask if she's pregnant. That's a life tip that you need to take to your grave. But think about Jochebed the entire time, knowing that she cannot hide from the Egyptians that she's pregnant. She had to be smart. She had to be intelligent, because you know that there was some lower level official for the Egyptian government that had tabs on their area of which Hebrew ladies were pregnant, and was keeping a chart to know when they were due. And they would be there, if possible, to determine if the baby they had was male or female. It's hard to hide a pregnant woman. But somehow Jochebed, her intelligence, her provision, she kept that from happening. She had to do a lot of planning. And then we see also in the mother's provision, how about this? The Pharaoh's daughter takes Moses in, and does Moses become a common laborer like the other Hebrews? He does not. He ascends literally to be a prince of Egypt. So you see that Pharaoh's daughter, in all of that time, she took him to the best schools. He had the best opportunities in all of Egypt to become an important man in that nation. Pharaoh's daughter was loving and provided him with all of those things. Moses had the best of the best, and that's what we want for our own children, do we not? If we can, within our power, if we can make their life better in some way, any parent would do that. And that's what Pharaoh's daughter, to her credit, did. Did you know, I believe it's in Acts chapter 7. It is in Acts chapter 7. It says, Moses learned the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in word and deed. Is it possible that God had a plan for Moses to ascend to a high position in the nation of Egypt? Did God know that Moses needed to be in that position? He knew it from the beginning. From the beginning. He had to have Moses. I say he had to. He wanted to use Moses in that position. Okay, if Moses had been unwilling at the burning bush, I believe God would have used somebody else in some capacity or other. But Pharaoh's daughter raised him. Moses was intelligent. We think about philosophy and we think about mathematics, and a lot of times we feel like we're super advanced, but don't discount the ancient cultures of the world and look at the things they accomplished. The pyramids, for example. Moses had all of these things in his upbringing. He had a protection from two women. He had provision from two women. And then, lastly, how about this verse from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, hold up. Moses was given a life that every kid in the ancient world would have wanted. But Hebrews 11 says he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why is that? We have a mother's protection, a mother's provision. Thirdly and lastly, a mother's priority. That's why we called this morning's sermon the priority of motherhood. Moses, even though he was taught by the brightest people in the ancient world, Moses was not taught by Pharaoh's daughter or the Egyptians about the God of heaven and earth. Now, thankfully, Jochebed's influence was still there. And you know that when she had those periods of time alone with Moses as a young kid, you know Jochebed was telling Moses about the things of their culture and the things of God, the true God, the Ancient of Days. This morning, here's a quick challenge, and I don't know how to word it any better than this. But if you are raising your kids and you're giving them every advantage in the world, that's fine and I commend you. But if you are making God second place in their life by promoting everything else as more important, please change. You can have degrees from Oxford and Harvard and all of those places. You can be the most intelligent, most well-spoken person on the face of the earth. And if you die without the Lord Jesus, you die and spend eternity separated from God. There's nothing wrong with doing what you can to make sure your kid has a good education. There's nothing wrong with teaching them how to play ball. There's nothing wrong with taking them to dance recitals and piano lessons, and all of those things are well and good and I think very positive in their life. But be careful as a mom that we don't create those things and make them an idol. What have you taught your kids more about? I struggle with that myself as a father. Coaching the girl, Bonnie, coaching her soccer team. I don't know much about soccer, so I haven't taught them much about soccer, but I don't want Bonnie to ever feel like that is a priority in her life over the God of heaven and earth. Don't ever make lives, moms, and this goes for fathers too, obviously. Don't ever make life so busy that God gets left out of the picture. And I don't mean just bring them to church on Sundays. We love you here. I think this is God's plan for people, is to be in fellowship together at church. Amen. Believe that 100%. Amen. Man, it is our duty as parents to raise our kids in a Christian home. Not just faithful church attendance, not just Bible on the shelf, but talk about the things of God at home.
Amen.
As a church, our job for your kids, we're to help you and to help equip you along the way in raising your kids in a godly home. But if you come to church, let's say you even come to, you come at 9 and you're at Sunday school and you're at 10 a.m. service every Sunday, that's 104 hours that we have your kid for an entire year. Now that may sound like a lot, but how many hours is that kid in your care? The primary teacher of biblical truth in your child's life as a Christian parent should be you as the parents. I don't mean that to come across remotely heavy-handed. This is a lesson that I need to learn myself. But this is the priority, moms, of motherhood, is to do your job as a godly woman to raise your kids to know Jesus Christ. Can you do a fantastic job and that kid lose their mind and go their own way? Absolutely. If you've had a child in your life or a grandchild in your life that has gone wayward, don't necessarily read that as an indictment on you. If you did the best that you know how and you followed God's word, pray that the child will come back to the Lord. God did not ask us to be successful. He asked us to be faithful. Keep plugging away at it. If you have a child or a grandchild that's out there in the world doing their own thing and they've abandoned God, you keep praying.
Amen.
I could tell you stories today of people that came back to the Lord and came back to their senses because of a praying mom or grandmother. That does a world of good. Don't give up on them. Don't expect yourself to be perfect. If I know anything about moms, I know moms beat themselves up a lot for what they feel like they've done wrong in their child's life. I should have been stricter. I should have been more nurturing. I should have been. You probably did just fine. If you provided for that kid and you raised that kid in a godly home and did the best you could, good for you. You can't afford to beat yourself up. But do not forget especially those of us with younger kids, that the priority of motherhood is not college scholarships. It isn't money in the bank. It's, do your kids know Jesus? That's the priority of motherhood. That's it. I'll tell you that right now, while I was talking about moms beating themselves up, I know that many times my mom still beats herself up, feeling like she... I may have to call her and tell her not to listen to this one. But there was a time, as, and it was a kind of a lighthearted conversation. It wasn't super serious or anything like that. But as adults, I don't know if my brother was in town or not, but myself and my sister were there. And my mom made some comment to the effect of she wished she had been a better mom. I didn't know what to say to that. But now that I've removed from that for a little bit, what else could she have done? I ate every day. I had shelter. I had clothing. I knew every day that my mom loved me. I knew that if I was in trouble, even if I had done something completely ignorant, my mom would be upset, but she wouldn't leave me or kick me out. She took me to church. She talked about the things of God to us. What else could she have done? She shouldn't be beating herself up. And nor should you. Just make sure, as a mom, your priorities are in the right place. And you may say, Kevin, but I've really blown it. You know what? If you're breathing oxygen, it's not too late. Maybe you say, as a kid, I've really blown it. I've, in many ways, abused my mom's love and time and care and all those things. Same thing applies to you. Don't let today go away without you making that right. You say, but our relationship is super strained and she won't talk to me. I understand. Do your part. Get that right before you do anything else. If she won't respond, then at least you've done your side of the thing. But the priority of motherhood is that your kids know Jesus. That's it. And we're here as a church family to help you in any way that we can help you. That's why we're here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. God, I do thank you for the ladies here this morning. God, so many super influences. Lord, I know that some here, and none of them said it to me verbally, but I feel like some here today may feel like they haven't done a good job. I pray that you would encourage them today. Lord, I feel like the majority of moms in the United States of America do the best that they can, and for that I'm very grateful. Lord, today is a reminder for us as parents, myself and Kara included, remind us what our priority as parents is. Not to be super successful by the world's standards, but that we'll be faithful to God. That we'll raise our kids in our homes here in the name of Jesus, talking about the things of God. Lord, and the other things are just fine. No mom in here would intentionally hurt their kids' spiritual growth. But I pray the Holy Spirit would convict us where we fail. God, where we need to see a change in our life. And we'll make God the priority over everything else. We're really good at the protecting and the providing and all of that. But sometimes we just need a reminder on the priorities. God, today I lift up the moms who may be heartbroken over a wayward child. Pray that they don't give up hope. I also pray that you would supply to them the peace that passes all understanding that the Bible talks about. and give them encouragement today. Because you can literally do the best job you can possibly do and a kid lose their mind. If there's any relationships between children and mothers today that need reconciliation, God, I pray that you would provide that. Pray you would provide the conviction for my brothers and sisters in the Lord here that they would need to make those things right. And just do their part. They can't control somebody else's reaction, but they can do their part. Again today, God, I thank you for all the moms, all the ladies, each one specially formed, each one specially created to serve a particular role in your kingdom. Thank you for the great examples I've had in my life. We thank you for Jesus.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.